morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to start out, I'm not Julie. But she did send us a text this morning saying she's arrived safely in Rome this morning. It was 6 o'clock our time and roughly midnight there. A few announcements. We have a new sign for the church, which was purchased by Joan Bailey in memory of our. Please tell her thank you when you see her next. She's not here this morning. WMNZ meeting will be October 27th at Linda's. Let Jenny or Linda know if you are coming. Gift card orders are due November 2nd. It's a great way to get Christmas card gifts if needed. And sign up for our potluck lunch on November 2nd is in the sign up board in the narthex. Thanksgiving gathering of area churches at St. Paul Lutheran on Sharon Circle is November 25th, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. There's a flyer on a bulletin board for more information. It'll be invites to Mount Zwingli, Remsen Christian Church, Sharon Center UNC, and St. Paul Lutheran. Thank you. We have a few on our list to pray for this morning. The family of Jane Youngblood, requested by Dave Green. Pam Frazier, requested by Georgia. And DJ and Gracie Chapman, who lost an infant son. You gotta be them strong. Is there any other on our prayer list?
I'd like to put the family of Melanie Tremel on the list.
T-R-E-M-M-E-L.
T-R-E-M-M-E-L.
First name was?
Melanie.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Bill Oliver.
Any others?
Scott Fulton.
Any others? Any joys? Pastor?
3 weeks ago, I mentioned that our daughter is expecting. We found out Wednesday. It's going to be a little girl sometime in April.
Congratulations.
God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified. Bless our nation. Watch over those serving in our military and bless our veterans around the world. Bless and guide our leaders, the President and Vice President, the governors, mayors, and all elected officials that they might serve the public faithfully. Watch over teachers and students. Watch over our first responders, policemen, firemen, and other emergency responders. We give thanks for the new peace treaty in the Middle East, and we pray for the families who lost loved ones during that conflict. We pray also for those who we lifted up this morning, for Janice, Paul, DJ, and Gracie, the family of Melanie, for for Bill, and for Scott, and my granddaughter someday. Watch over this congregation as they vote soon on their next pastor. Choosing a pastor for this holy place is such an important duty. Receive our supplications and prayers which we have offered to you for all the members of your holy church, that in their ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you and your faithful people through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
This morning's reading is from Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. It tells about Jesus and his disciples in the city of Jericho when blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. And you can find it on page 47 in the Pew Bibles in the New Testament. They came to Jericho as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately, he regained his sight and followed him on the way.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And long time no see. My dear wife, Carrie, would have loved to have been here today, but yesterday she attended a memorial service for a lady from a Protestant women's group that my wife belonged to, and this morning she has duties at our church in the town. But I do want to thank Jimmy and the whole choir for making my wife feel so welcome last time we visited on the 28th. Inviting her to sing with the choir. And we talked about it all the way home. She enjoyed meeting you all, singing with the choir. She even talked about the food from the potluck. She even enjoyed Ginny bringing her a Diet Coke. So you need to hear the Diet Coke story. About 3 years ago, my dear wife was watching television in our family room, three rooms away. That's the room with the big TV. And I was watching the smaller TV in the front room, and I heard her start yelling at the television. So I walked through the dining room, walked through the kitchen, and I go, "What are you yelling about?" And she's pointing at the television, and her hand is literally shaking. I'm like, "What?" And she said, "They just had a commercial that said, Diet Coke, the official beverage of the elderly." And in her other hand, she had a Diet Coke. Now, I can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure she threw away half a 12-pack of Diet Coke that day. Because we haven't had it in either of our refrigerators since. Funny story, though. When we were here last time, on the 27th to 28th of September, we ordered pizza at our hotel room from Domino's, and it came with two Diet Cokes. We had a little laugh about it. Thank you all for one more chance to be with you, particularly for the choir and for Jim, who made my wife feel so welcome. So, on with the message. In the name of God the Father, who created all that is, seen and unseen, of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, and the Good Shepherd, and the Holy Spirit, who speaks to us through prophets, sages, luminaries, and even the theologians and pastors of our day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and my mind be always accepted, my Lord, my Redeemer, and my God. Today, our Lord Jesus gave sight to the blind beggar Bartimaeus. Actually, it was a couple thousand years ago, but you knew what I meant. This was one of the more workaday acts of power that we had seen Jesus doing for the least of his brothers and sisters. The blind beggar learned that Jesus was approaching and began calling out, probably loudly, and I suspect he planned to beg to get his sight back. I think this one of those fairly quick miracles that our Savior did has a special importance to us listening in America today. During my last visit, I spoke from the story of Luke and the unnamed wealthy man and the poor beggar Lazarus. I don't know if you know this, but in our world today, nearly half of the residents, actually a little over half of the residents of our world, live in abject poverty, which the UN standard for is $2 a day in income. That's poor. Think about that. In the streets of Detroit or Cleveland, somebody could beg for several times that much. But $2 a day. That's just a little tidbit from the economics professor. So, this blind beggar, who probably cashes a couple of coins every day, asks Jesus, not for the comforts of life, but he just wanted to see. Compare that with the sorts of things that we ask for here in the American Midwest. Maybe some decent vegetables at Walmart. Or some sunshine to enjoy a round of golf, or some precious time fishing or deer hunting. During the announcements, we heard about people who are ill. We heard about people healing from surgery over the last couple visits of mine. There was a student of somebody who wasn't here today who is suffering from an incurable version of cancer. And I remember on the 28th, somebody mentioning that we really should try and have some positives, some joys that we could talk about during those moments. So I wanted to get one about my future granddaughter. Maybe like Carrie and I, you feel that you've had a life with many blessings. We've had careers that we feel fulfilled by. We've had healthy adult kids, and we're about to become grandparents, as I might have mentioned. And we have friends and a church that we care about, although its name might change. I don't know. But Christ reminds us that we are here for a reason. What the first century church called the way is our desire to follow Jesus Christ and his teachings. Whenever you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. We talked about it last time. There are, of course, many ways that we here in the U.S. can do for the least of our brothers and sisters, whether it be volunteering or giving time or maybe putting together Swiss steak dinners or giving our time and talents to worthy causes, singing in the choir, making donations to food banks, or simple things, like offering to help a stranger in the parking lot at Walmart, or forgiving that rude person who tailgated you for 2 years, 2 years, 2 miles, and then cut you off when they finally got around to passing you. I suppose we all pass by a chance every now and then to do something for the least of our brothers and sisters. We have our busy lives, of course. There's an appointment that you're heading to. And now and then, we might forget to think of a small way to do something for others. Doing even a small thing for someone who needs a little help can mean all the difference to that person that day. Last winter, I borrowed a book from the little library of the church I serve in the Thumb of Michigan. It was called The Biggest Lie in the History of Christianity. How about it? in case anybody wanted to see it. The title caught my attention, as you can imagine. And so I bought it to the rental that we were staying in because our summer home had been winterized. And I read it in a day. I mentioned it in my next sermon. The book was not about a lie in Christianity, but a lie about Christianity. The author talks about the fact that we are told that we're human, not holy. But the author says that those moments when we do something selfless, when we do something kind or something generous, those are moments of holiness. Claiming that if we can be holy for a moment or two each day, that we have holiness in us. And then the only challenge for us becomes taking the time and effort when those opportunities come up to do something for someone. And when we do, we prove that in our humanity there is holiness. Now, some of those times it might be just a stranger, or it could be a neighbor, or a friend, or a person from church, or somebody you work with on your job. The author of the book suggests that as we offer these holy moments to others, we prove that in our humanity there is holiness. So I think about the lady who, on my first two visits here, brought me coffee, and she did it again today. The first time, I drank it in the kitchen area. The second time, she brought it to me while I was sitting out in those chairs in the narthex. So very quickly, I left the narthex and drank it while I was walking towards the kitchen. I didn't want to give my clumsy self a chance to spill anything on that beautiful carpet. I think of such moments, the occasions where we do those little things that the bracelets remember. Remember the bracelets, the ones that said WWJD? What would Jesus do? Every time we do those little acts of kindness, those, folks, are holy moments. Last summer, I mentioned in three different sermons, probably more than I should have, about competing. The little church that I serve in the thumb right now, people would do their best to put in a nice coffee hour spread, and someone could be heard complaining about it. Too many sweets, or where's the fruit? One time, somebody actually complained to my caretaker that the coffee was too weak. Well, Karen doesn't drink coffee, and she doesn't make coffee. And then she picks up two people who are in charge of coffee. One person starts it brewing as the service is about to begin, and the other person pours 12 cups as we're coming out of the service and into coffee hour. I think a holy moment could have been resisting the temptation to complain. And you could probably turn it into two holy moments by being grateful. Saying something like, hey, who put out this really nice coffee hour? Thank you so much. I make a point of thanking Don. He's the guy who pours the 12 cups of coffee. Thanks, Don. And around this time of year, Don always asks me, how did my CMU Chippewas do on Saturday? I'm not there for Don to ask, but we did beat Bowling Green yesterday. But anyway, and if they win, he lets me brag. Well, not brag, but he lets me be proud out loud. And when they lose, he always says the same thing. Well, they play. He actually said that when Michigan beat us 63-3, and I said, no, Don, that's not a good game. So I'm with you when you're not blue and yellow fans. The idea behind these holy moments is that with tiny demonstrations of holiness, we can be a blessing to someone, a stranger, a friend, a neighbor, somebody who may just be having a really bad day. My friend Paul is the pastor of St. Patrick's Church in Madison Heights, Michigan. And he once said in one of his sermons, what if tomorrow you lost everything you forgot to thank God for yesterday? Imagine what you could lose if that happened. I try every day to be thankful for the good things in my life. Sometimes I forget, but about 5 or 6 times a week, I do remember. to thank God for the blessings of my life. It usually starts with Carrie, and then my three healthy adult kids, for friends and family, for a church that we care about. I pray for my students, clients, strangers, and yes, I even include my in-laws. That part usually makes me smile. I thank God for the sights and sounds, tastes and smells of our earthly life. Do we find time to be thankful for the gifts in our life? By the way, I was honored to be invited to preach here on the 14th and the 28th of September. And I was honored to be treated as if I was some sort of visiting dignitary. Jimmy asked me how I wish to be addressed. And I told her, and you can confirm this, I said, well, most people call me Dan. And Julie said, oh, no, no. No, here you're Pastor Dan. Okay. I remember being thankful for that amazing potluck, for the great things that we enjoyed. And then on my last trip through the line, I discovered something called death by chocolate. And before I even tasted it, I thought, what a way to go. And all I can say about it, having eaten two servings of it, wow. I don't know who made it, but I'm going to have to ask for the recipe if I'm invited back. Holy moments? Maybe. Maybe not. But Bartimaeus was so grateful that he got his sight back that he became a follower of Jesus. And think about this. He was still poor. He was probably still homeless. But he was so happy to get his sight back. You see, folks, we are heirs of Bartimaeus, living in wealthy America, and maybe sometimes a little bit blind to the needs of others. I wonder if sometimes willfully blind. Have you ever given answer when your spouse asked you a question? I remember once my wife said, you left a coffee cup in the sink, meaning that it was supposed to be in the dishwasher, and I remember giving the wrong answer. Usually, though, I very quickly say something smart, like, well, yes, dear, I'm sorry, and then I put it in the dishwasher and scoot out of the room. Our gospel today tells us to see the blessings around us. I thank you for a chance to visit, to preach the gospel, and to get to know many of you. Maybe the reason that today we hear the story of giving sight to Bartimaeus, the blind beggar, is meant to remind us, rich Americans, not to be blind to the needs of those around us. Maybe we can be reminded to say a kind word to somebody who's having a bad day. Maybe it's intended to remind us to do those small acts of kindness whenever we get a chance. There's this story. A certain Sunday school teacher gave his 9 and 10-year-old class a homework assignment. He gave each of them 12 yellow sheets of paper that said, come meet Jesus at our church on Sunday at 10 o'clock. So little Johnny got up Saturday morning and he went to his dad's room. Daddy, it's time to go knock on doors for my Sunday school assignment. But Johnny's dad had worked a double shift the day before. And he was very tired. He said, Johnny, you can do this. Stay on our block, maybe the block across the street. So Johnny went out and did his assignment. That Sunday, after Pastor Mike finished his sermon, he stepped off from behind the pulpit and asked, would anyone like to testify? And from the back of the church, a woman stood up, walked a little ways forward down the middle aisle, and said, Pastor, I'd like to testify. Pastor Mike said, please do, go right ahead. So the lady stepped a couple of steps forward and she said, yesterday, I had given up my life. I went up to my attic and I tied a rope around one of the rafters and climbed up on a stool and put the other end of the rope around my neck. I was planning to end it all. She paused because tears were welling in her eyes. Then there was a knocking at my front door. I stood there on the stool, quietly hoping that whoever it was would go away. But the knocking kept on. I kept hoping that whoever it was would give up and go away, but the knocking kept on and on. Finally, I got down off the stool, and I went down to see what was so darn important. Tears went streaming down her face. I opened the door. "Hello," said this little boy, and he handed me this yellow piece of paper, and he said, "Jesus loves you," with a big smile. The woman had to pause because her voice was overwhelmed with tears. As she regained her composure, she said, "Today, I can tell you all that that little boy and Jesus saved my life." I think this is the first time I've ever been able to tell that story without my eyes welling up. Friends, we never know when we might be part of saving one of God's children by the love with which we walk through our lives. We need to look for opportunities to make someone smile. Perhaps the lesson is that we never know when a simple act of kindness can make the difference for somebody who's at the end of their rope. Those moments are truly holy moments. When you see one of those moments coming, a chance to give a tiny bit of kindness, try not to miss the chance, to prove that the Holy Spirit does indeed dwell within you. Have a tiny bit of holiness to share. As you learned last time I was here on the 28th of September, I like to quote hymns during my preaching. Well, if the gospel is divinely inspired, and the authors of hymns are inspired by the Gospels, doesn't that make it, in some sense, that hymns are divinely inspired too? What do you think, Jim? So here's a piece of a beautiful hymn whose words fit this moment. "Thou whose almighty word chaos and darkness heard, and took thy flight, hear us, we humbly pray, and where the gospel day sheds not its glorious ray, let there be light. Thou who didst come to bring on thy redeeming wing healing and sight, healing to the sick in mind, sight to the inly blind, now to all humankind, let there be light. Spirit of truth and love, life-giving heavenly dove, speed forth thy flight. Move on the water's face, bury the gifts of grace, and in earth's darkest place, let there be light. Holy and blessed three, glorious Trinity, wisdom, love, might, boundless as ocean's tide, rolling in false pride, through the world, far and wide, let there be light." Such a beautiful hymn. May it teach us how we might be light to those who are in darkness. May we learn how to light a candle in that darkness, that we might be a light to those who need us. Perhaps you or I, having a simple holy moment, can make all the difference to someone we encounter. As is my habit, I like to end my sermon with a little bit of a prayer. Gracious God, teach us the lesson of Bartimaeus. Help us to open our eyes of our hearts to those whom we can help. Help us and keep us from acts of blindness of heart, that we might learn the lesson you taught us through the blind beggar, Bartimaeus, to care more for what we can see than what we have. Help us to see the needs of others, that we might act like your hands, feet, and heart in our broken world. We ask all this in the name of our risen Lord, Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the Prince of peace, the Good Shepherd, and this morning, the Son of God. Amen.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. And may God watch over us in this coming week as we seek to show the light of the gospel in our lives. Amen.